Hi everyone, this is Billy Phillips from Los Angeles, and as we all know, I'm going to hopefully share some really powerful insights of the Zohar, relating to this week and actually to this month as well. Last week's portion, which emanates energy into the week we're in now, and this week's portion, which also vibrates that unique energy. If we begin with last week, we know we had the reading of the golden calf. What 90% of the world has no idea is that the golden calf, the building of the golden calf, was not the reason that the Israelites and the world lost immortality, a world of Messiah 3,400 years ago. The reason death came back into the world after the golden calf was because of consciousness. Now, I was visiting New York and Boca, Miami last week, and I spoke to some of the Zohar volunteers. But for those who weren't there, just a quick explanation. The Israelites had to bring the power of certainty in the immortal existence that Moses and the Israelites brought to the world. And when they stood on Mount Sinai and Moses went back up the mountain, he was late in returning, or so they thought. So the negative force called Satan, the ego, our opponent in this game of life, conjured up a vision within the minds of the Israelites, and they saw with their five senses that Moses had died. They actually saw Moses being carried up to heaven by a group of angels. So imagine ourselves, God forbid, we saw somebody we know, dead. We'd believe it. Seeing is believing, right? So the Israelites were convinced that Moses was dead, and that was the problem. They lost the power of certainty. As the Rav always teaches us, certainty no matter what. But Moses was dead, no matter what. But he's being taken to heaven with angels, no matter what you see, no matter what. The Israelites just had to bring the power of consciousness to the table. You see, we all have certainty already. We already have perfect certainty. The problem is we have certainty in our doubts. We have certainty in all the potential things that can go wrong. And all those doubts and all those things that can go wrong are implanted in our mind's eye and even in front of our five senses by Satan. So if we believe it, we're going to be right. So this is really what happened when the Israelites saw Moses dead. They were convinced he died. Their certainty then brought death into existence, and the building of the golden calf from last week's portion was the effect, not the cause. It was the fall of consciousness that caused them to build the golden calf because they thought Moses was dead, and now they had to find an external technology like the calf to connect to the 99% reality. Now, this is what we came to correct. The Zohar teaches us and the Kabbalists teach us when Moses got the second tablets after the first tablets had shattered after the building of the calf, the power of those second tablets was the Zohar. In fact, the light shining from Moses' face is called Zohar by the Kabbalists, and it's a deep, deep secret. So the Zohar is the light that repairs the fallen consciousness, the birth of death, and the uncertainty that afflicted the Israelites. The Zohar is the light that we once had on Mount Sinai, which leads to this week's portion. It's amazing because the first thing the Zohar talks about in this week's portion is about the nation of Amalek. So I'll read you what the Zohar says in English. The Zohar says, "Come and see what is written about Amalek. Quote, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. But God remembered all the wars and that the other nations had waged against Israel. Why mention this particular war?" The Zohar asks. Why mention the war of Amalek? The Zohar says, because there was not a more difficult war before God as the one waged by Amalek. Even further, this month is Purim. We're told we must read a certain section of Torah before Purim, which is all about the nation of Amalek. And the Torah tells us, warns us, admonishes us to never forget Amalek. Always remember. What does that mean? And when the Messiah and world peace and immortality is restored in this world, when it does arrive, the Kabbalists tell us only the holiday of Purim is going to remain. Why Purim? What does that mean? Basically, we know Amalek means doubt. We know Israel, the nation of Israel, means the human soul. Amalek waging war against Israel is the doubts that wage war against our soul and certainty. So when there's a doubt in our minds, our certainty manifests that doubt. We bring it into existence through the power of our certainty. So what's Purim all about? It's amazing. On Purim, everybody wears a costume. On Purim, everybody gets, you know, safely drunk and high. And you experience tremendous joy. What's the connection? Basically, the Zohar and the Torah tell us, remember Amalek, meaning remember the ego. The ego is the problem. When we wear a costume on Purim, it's like we're showing something that's not really who we are. It's a false identity. It's like the ego. Whether you're dressed as a cowboy or Satan himself, or you're dressed as a police officer or a fireman or whatever your costume is, everybody in the room knows that's not really who you are. It's just an external garment. It's just an external masquerade. It's like us wearing our ego on our sleeves. Everybody sees each other's ego. So now the ego can't create separation of space between us because we remember the ego. We see it. And that's why we get drunk, because in other words, when the ego is exposed, we get high as a kite. There's fulfillment. There's no more pain or suffering because we've identified the ego. The only reason we react to somebody, the only reason we get upset or hurt or frustrated, is because we don't see the other person's ego. We think it's the person insulting us. We don't see it's Satan. It's not the person. It's Satan. It's Amalek. And then when we do get upset, we don't realize it's not us who's upset. Souls don't cry. Souls don't get hurt. The ego cries. The ego gets insulted. The ego gets fed up. So we don't see the ego is the one hidden behind the scenes, inciting the person in front of us to aggravate us, and then inciting our own negative reaction in response to that person. The ego is playing both sides against the middle. This is where we have to remember Amalek. Remember, it's not the person who's insulting you. No matter what they do, no matter how much they hurt you, it's Satan. That person is just a slave, a blind robot to Satan. If you saw Satan there, you'd want to help that person. You'd want to free that person. And then when you realize, remember it's your ego, remember Amalek, remember it's Satan, when you're hurt, when you're upset, if we really, truly saw it was Satan making us upset, we'd no longer be upset. If the Israelites knew it was Satan who conjured up the image of Moses dead on Mount Sinai, then they wouldn't have built the golden calf. They would know it's not real. They didn't see Satan. They didn't see Amalek. They didn't know it was an external doubt implanted within them. This is one reason why we wear a costume. When everybody's ego or costume or masquerade is exposed, we're drunk with the light of the Creator. We're drunk with happiness. That's the only work there is to do, is to shine a light on Satan, who hides in the shadows, in the darkness, in the recesses of our very being. We only get mad because we don't know it's Satan. We think it's us. We only get doubtful because we don't know it's Amalek implanting that doubt within us. And then we let that doubt come to fruition because our certainty creates that reality. We must expose Satan. If you've ever seen sunlight shining through the blinds, in your home, through the slits in the blinds, you see a billion dust particles dancing in those beams of light. Before the sunshine radiated through the blinds, you thought the air was clean and sparkling perfect. But the moment the sunlight shone through the blinds, now you see the dust particles. That's the power of what we're doing in the Zohar Project. We're bringing the light to the world to illuminate the ego, the darkness, the negativity, so that we can clean it. And this is why there's sometimes pain when we bring the Zohar. This is sometimes why there's, hurt and obstacles when we bring the Zohar, because it's now shining, and in the beams of the Zohar's light, we see the dust particles called ego. But what's so beautiful is if we clean up our mess through the power of Zohar, the Zohar guarantees us, the Zohar promises us, we'll clean up the mess with mercy, with pleasantness, instead of judgment. Because the Zohar is the tree of life. And those who cling to the tree of life will leave the chaos of this world, will experience the transformation of this world with blessings. The Zohar says, praiseworthy are those who are there when the world transforms. But the Zohar also warns us, woe to those who are there if they don't transform, if they don't harness the light of Zohar. So the work we're doing, and always, is to shine a light on the ego, to expose it. In the same way, the same manner, we expose the ego on Purim, through mercy, through joy, because we recognize only the ego is the problem, not the other person, not the other nation, not the other religion, not the other belief. It's the Satan hidden behind the scenes. Everyone has different beliefs. Everyone has different opinions, the same way the body has different organs performing different functions. But when they work united, it creates one harmonious, healthy body. The only reason this world is not experienced paradise is because the Satan, the nation of Amalek, has been waging war against our souls. And we don't see the hand of Amalek igniting hatred in somebody else and igniting our reactions in response to that hatred. If we expose Amalek once and for all, the pain, the suffering, the death will come to an end. And don't doubt it, because if we doubt it, our certainty will delay it. And then it will only happen through judgment. But if we reject the certainty, if we remember it's only Amalek, our ego planting this doubt, we will proactively accelerate the arrival of world peace through mercy. The light that was lost on Sinai was the light of immortality. The light that Moses brought back down to the world with those second tablets was Zohar. Each one of us in the Zohar Project is returning that light that Moses brought to the world. That's why Moses came down in the day of Yom Kippur, the day where we can achieve at-one-ment with the 99% reality. The work the Zohar Project is doing is the greatest, holiest, most powerful work in the history of humanity. It's the only work we came to do. We came to bring the light of the Creator to all the nations of the world. That's how you create paradise. And by doing it, we become the creators of that paradise by doing the work. You are doing that work every day. The more you can find our own ego as we do this work, the greater the light that will shine in the world. Thank you very much.